to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church, or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come, on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread? Praise him, the Lord above. That living water satisfy the thirsty without price, will take a cup of his good grace. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ.
Sing this out on that day.
King, you are worthy of our praise. Your rule and reign we will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Jesus, would you speak to us through your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is week 14 of our message series entitled Find Joy. We have made it to chapter 3 of Philippians, and we'll start right there with the first word. It says finally. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean he's ending the letter. It means he's switching gears. He wants to give you something totally different in thought. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Then he says, to write the same thing to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. What does that mean? Paul, when he says rejoice, he says, I'm writing the same thing to you I've already said, but I don't care. He's saying it's no trouble for me to say it again, and it's good for you. Paul doesn't mind being accused of repeating himself. He tells the Philippians it won't bother him and it'll be good for them. And he does repeat himself a lot. 9 times in the book of Philippians, Paul says the word rejoice. He uses the word joy or rejoice 16 times in the book of Philippians. That's a little more than once, or a little less than once every 7 verses. It is the theme of Philippians. But what does it mean to rejoice? If I were to ask you what is joy, you could come up with a pretty good definition. But what does it mean to rejoice? How do we do that? Here's the best definition I can give you of rejoice, if you've always wanted to know. It comes from an original Greek word. It's the same word we get our word grace from. And so the idea is to find joy in God's grace. If you're rejoicing, you are finding joy in the grace of God and something He has done in or through you or is doing around you. So to rejoice is to find joy in God's grace. Listen to me, friends. Albertville First Baptist Church, rejoice. That's what God has called us to do, to find joy in God's grace. We find joy in God's grace towards us. And let me ask you, how has God shown His grace in your life? How has He shown His grace over the past number of years in your life? Think about it. How has He shown His grace in the past 6-7 months in your life? How has He shown His grace in your life this week? I don't know about you, but here's what I know. When I stop and think about all the ways that God's grace has been at work in my life, it always, always, always leads to gratitude, doesn't it? It leads to thanksgiving. Think all the way back to week 3 of this series, 11 weeks ago, when we said there are well over 100 passages in the Bible that deal with gratitude and thanksgiving. And that is so important to the Lord. It is the theme of the scripture. Max Lucado said it this way. I shared this back then. If quantity implies gravity, then God takes thanksgiving seriously. If quantity, how many times God talks about it, implies gravity, how serious of a thing it is in the Bible, then God takes thanksgiving and gratitude seriously. So let's take a moment right now and have a joy break. Let's take a moment right now to do so. I want to ask you to stop and to find joy in God's grace in your life. How has God shown grace in your life over the years? How has God shown grace in your life over the past few months? How has God shown grace in your life this week? Would you take a second and think about that? And I want to invite you to respond in a room this size. In the early service, we had a special time of rejoicing, a special time of gratitude. So don't give a long paragraph or even a long sentence, but maybe just a couple of words or a phrase. How has God been gracious to you? What are you thankful for that God has put in your life, is doing in your life, or is up to? What are you thankful for today? Now listen, I want to encourage you. We're going to read in a few weeks where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So we're going to see this theme again. But that word rejoice, I have learned you can't do it in silence. Rejoice implies get it out there for people to hear. So speak up loudly if you're going to. But would you take a moment right now? What are you thankful to for the Lord? How has He shown you grace over the last weeks, months, years, this week, this day? Somebody, what are you thankful for today? Say it loudly. God's mercy. What else? Salvation. God's salvation. What else? His forgiveness. What else? How has He shown you grace? His presence. His protection. His gospel, His peace, His sacrifice. What else are you thankful for today?
Help.
I'm sorry?
Help.
His help. What else? His comfort. What else are you thankful for? His peace. What are you thankful for today? His love. His strength. His patience. He never leaves. His guidance. His son. I'm thankful for good health. I'm thankful for another day to live. If you woke up and you're here, you're alive. Congratulations. The Lord has breathed out so you can breathe in. It's just that simple. God is the sustainer of life. How about your family? Who's thankful for their family? Hasn't God shown you His grace in your family? I rejoice over that. What else? What do you rejoice over? What are you thankful for?
His truth.
His truth. What else? Children. Wisdom. His friendship. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this faith family. I'm thankful for the past year and a half of what He's been doing among us. I'm thankful for 139 years of what He has been doing among people of Albertville here. What else are you thankful for? His provision. I love this little song. In all my life You have been faithful. If you know it, sing it with me. In all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Sing that again. With all my life, lift it up. All my life You have been faithful. And all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I'm going to sing of the goodness. And before we sing that again, listen, let me be honest. Some of you came in here grumpy today. I don't know who you are. I'm just reading your mail. I'm not looking at your face. Y'all look happy, but somebody came in here grumpy. Somebody came in here sad. Somebody came in here struggling. But you know what just happened? Just listening to people's thanksgiving, just taking a moment to rejoice and to be able to sing to the Lord, all my life You have been faithful. Doesn't that change your perspective? Listen, I don't know about you, but I can't sit down and sing this next part. So will you stand with me and sing it to the Lord? Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Come on. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me all my life, and all my life You have been faithful. Sing it as a prayer. And all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I have made, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Last time, all my life, lift it up. In all my life, You have been faithful. In all my life, You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. You have been so good to us. Lord, thank You that we could take a moment to rejoice. God, I'm not exaggerating. I feel lighter. I feel more at peace. I feel more focused. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Rejoice in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. So He says, rejoice. Thank You for sharing in that. Thank You for rejoicing. But then in the next verse, He takes a deeper dive and it goes a little bit more difficult. And it really, He hits a hard note here. So I want you to hear it. So right after He says, rejoice in the Lord, and He doesn't mind repeating Himself, He says this: look out for the dogs. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. What in the world is he talking about? He is talking about a group of Jewish believers, people who have come to believe in Christ, but yet they still bring a religious tone to what they do. So they have now, they start to live and breathe and teach that you must do all things Jewish and all Pharisaical things, all the Pharisee extra laws. You have to do all those things to really follow Jesus, when that is not what Jesus commanded at all. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He said to follow after him, and it's not about a religion or rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with him. I'm summing up the whole entirety of the gospel. But these people are called the Judaizers. And from what we understand historically, they followed Paul everywhere he went, because Paul began to preach and teach and plant churches among Gentiles. If you are a Gentile in the room, raise your hand. If you don't know, if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. So if you're a Gentile, raise your hand. So thank Paul that you know Jesus, okay? So the reality is that started from that process, and they're sharing in all these non-Jewish people. But these Judaizers would come along after him and stir up trouble and say, all of you have to be circumcised. All of you have to follow these laws. And so Paul takes a trick from their playbook, because the Pharisees used to refer to all Gentiles as dogs. It was a horrible nickname that was used among them. So Paul flips it and calls them dogs. He says, these dogs, watch out for these evildoers, for these mutilators of the flesh. What's he referring to? He's referring to circumcision. Look at the next verse. He says in verse 3, for we are the circumcision. Paul says, you don't have to be circumcised. We are the circumcision. What does that mean? Circumcision was an act for the Jewish people in the Old Testament. It was to show their inheritance of God. It was to show them belonging as a people of God. He says, we are the people of God. And he says, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, love what he says next. Verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. What's Paul talking about? Paul really shows a lot of humility in his letters, but there's a few places where you read it and you think he's bragging. This is one of those, but it's not. He has a very valid point to make. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew among Jews. Look at what he says. If you want to make it about your outward appearance, about your religious pedigree, he says, I've got you beat. And this is what he says. He says, I was circumcised, verse 5, on the eighth day, good Jewish boy, of the people of Israel, he was Jewish, of the tribe of Benjamin, it was the tribe you wanted to be from. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And as to the law, he was a Pharisee. He kept the law to the letter of the law. As to zeal, he was a persecutor of the church, those that were messing up Judaism. And then he says, as for righteousness under the law, I was blameless. I lived according to the law. Paul says, if religious pedigree and status matters, then I am the most qualified in the room. I'm the most qualified reading this letter. But then he goes on to say some important things. Now listen, nobody in this room would be a Hebrew among Hebrews. Maybe for you, though, you could be known as a Baptist among Baptists. Some of you, right? Been a Baptist a long time. Maybe you come from a long line of ultra-conservative, right-leaning, fundamental, Republican, Bible-believing Baptists. If you do, amen, that's awesome. That's great. And I'm so thankful. I have been Baptist since 9 months before I was born. My parents were a part, when I was in the womb, my parents were a part of a church plant in Huntsville, leaving our home church to go to another church to help start it, and then came back. So I've been Baptist my whole life. So I'm a Baptist among Baptists. Some of you could agree as well. Maybe for you, you come from a Pentecostal background. I love my Pentecostal brothers. Wednesday night, I got to preach this past Wednesday for a revival at Trinity Tabernacle Church of God. And I love it. And here's what I would say. They love Jesus. But maybe for you, you come from a Pentecostal background and you would be that Bible thumping, Jesus loving, devil shoving, blood bought, shouting, screaming, overcoming child of God. Wear it proudly if that's you. Wear it proudly and be that. That's exciting, and take that heritage. Maybe you come from a long line of that. Maybe for you, though, you come from a more mainline movement of Christians. One that the reality is they think you should never raise your voice, raise your hand, maybe not raise a smile. I mean, it's pretty, pretty fundamental. But they love Jesus. And so, you know, don't be offended. we would lovingly refer to you as the frozen chosen, but it's okay. It's all right. Listen, all of those people know Jesus. Whether you are over the top, charismatic, whether you are the typical Baptist who's already thinking about lunch today, come on, you know what I'm talking about, or whether you are from a more mainline denomination, they can all know Jesus. But here's what I can tell you about all of those things. I myself don't want to be labeled by any one of those. I prefer Bapticostal. I mean, I really want to kind of be a combination of the two. But if you come from a long line of religious people, here is the reality of the gospel. That does not matter when it comes to your salvation. God does not grade on the curve of what your grandparents were or your parents were or what church you attended. Listen, you go in Cale's office, it is amazing. Not his office, but well, it's pretty amazing, you think so? But in his office, he has this little strip with all those, how many years? So he's got little pins from growing up in church, 19 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school. That's really what put him over the edge when we hired him. I mean, it was that close. But Cale would be the first to tell you that he wasn't following after Jesus a whole lot of those years. And boy, you can go do the religious thing, and it sounds great and wonderful, but you can be religious and not know Jesus. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So you got to know Jesus. And so what's important is Paul says he has this religious pedigree, but that is not of value. How does he say it? Look at the next verse, verse 7. So he talks about all the ways that he would qualify religiously. And then he says, but whatever gain I had, I count as a loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. What things? His position among religious people was very high, and now he was at the bottom of the barrel. His position in society because of that was very high, and now he would have been a wanted man by some of the others. He says, I count all the things that I lost as rubbish. He says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What is he saying? It's not a false righteousness that depends on your religion. It is a true righteousness that depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ, your faith that he is the Son of God. Verse 10, he says, that I may know him, to know Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, to know the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. He says, even through suffering, I want to know it more. Let me ask you a question. Answer it in your mind. Do you know the power of the resurrection? Now, I don't mean, if you know Jesus, then you know the power of the resurrection. You experienced it at salvation. But are you experiencing walking in the power of the resurrection this month? Are you experiencing the power of the resurrection in this season? You don't experience the power of the resurrection when you die. That will be the ultimate proclamation of it. But we can experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus every day of our life on this earth as believers. Romans chapter 8, Paul says this in verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What does that mean? If you have Jesus in your life, it says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You have the power of the resurrection in you. However, that is not a given that in this season you are experiencing the power of Jesus' resurrection. So the question really is, do you know him? Yes, I hope so. And do you know the power of his resurrection? I hope you do. If you've been saved, you do. But do you experience the power of his resurrection right now? Are you currently walking in that power? Are you experiencing Jesus in more deeper and more intimate ways now than you were 6 months ago? That's a good indication if you're walking in the power or not. So let me just quickly tell you, just in sentences, very quickly, how to experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Here it is. It's simple. First, trade religion for a relationship. Don't rely on that pedigree you've got. It won't be worth much someday. As awesome as it is, Kel will not take those 19 years of Sunday school pins to heaven someday with him. As awesome as your pedigree is, as much as you grew up in the church like I did, maybe a lot of you have. I've been on mission trips in so many states, I don't know how to count, places around the world. I know what it means to be a part. I am, as a royal ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ. Right? Who knows it? To have a Christ-like concern for all people. To learn how the message of Christ is carried around the world and to keep myself clean and healthy in mind and body. Listen, I was a good RA. I know the pledge. I could go on to talk about in Sunday school and discipleship training. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Sunday night, 5 o'clock discipleship training. I can tell you about that. I can talk to you about Tuesday night visitation. I can talk to you about all the pedigree of all the ways over the years that I was a good religious person. But you can do all those things and not know Jesus. So today I want to challenge you. Do you know the power of the resurrection? Do you have Jesus in your life? If so, thank him. Rejoice right now because of it. If not, stop right now and say, Jesus, I need you. The fact that my parents went to church is not enough. I need your resurrection power in my life. Would you save me? Ask him to do so. So that's the first thing, is to trade religion for relationship. The second thing I would say to you to experience the power of the resurrection is to trust God's word enough to prioritize reading it and living it. Now listen, we say we love the word of God, but do you trust the word of God? If you really trust the word of God for what it is, which is the power, it is truth, and it is from God himself to us. It shows us how to live, how to love, how to serve. It teaches us about him. If we really trust that it is all those things and can do all those things, then we must prioritize reading his word. And not only prioritize reading it, but prioritize living his word. It is not enough to take it in. I can remember for a number of years memorizing all kinds of scripture verses as a young man, but it wasn't enough to memorize them if you don't apply them in your life. So it's not just about how much Bible we know, it's how much of God's word we live out because we are convicted that it's truth. And so I want to encourage you, if you take more and more in, your body was not designed to take in and not give out. Your body was not designed to take in more and more calories and not exercise them out or walk them out. What happens when you do that? We become obese. And I would say this, that in a world, in someone who understands what that means and that label that comes with that and then the health issues that come along with that, spiritually, we do not need to be spiritually obese. We need to be fit. And how does that happen? What you take in God's word, we put out in how we live. We become the hands and the feet of Jesus in living out the gospel. That's how we experience the power of the resurrection. We live it out. So it's not about how much of the word of God you read. It's really more about will you take God's word and apply it to your life. What you read today, apply it. Seek to live it out. I want to encourage you to do that. And then maybe the third way I would say out of four to experience the power of his resurrection is to be bold in your prayers, to boldly ask God to help you experience the power of his resurrection, to be bold in asking God to open doors for you to proclaim his goodness, to be bold in asking God to help you live out what he teaches us in his word, to be bold in asking him to change your family members. It's bold praying. And then finally, it's right where we started, and I believe it's the essence of this entire letter of Philippians. The next way to have the power of the resurrection is to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice. To rejoice. That's what we can learn to do. To rejoice, it is to be thankful for the grace of God at work in your life. So as you rejoice and are thankful for that, Would you stop and examine your own life for a moment? Are you walking in relationship with Him? If so, would you thank Him for it and rejoice for it? And then when it comes to God's Word, do you trust it enough to read it regularly and to live what you're reading? Just take that nugget and live it out today. Take that nugget and live out what you see today. Oh, listen, if you do, rejoice over that. And then to be bold in our prayers. Listen, that's what these first 11 verses are about. Rejoice in the Lord and experience the power of His resurrection, to know it and experience it. So I want to invite you today to do just that. Would you bow with me with your heads bowed for just a moment? If you have Jesus in your life, would you rejoice right now for a moment? Thank Him for that grace. And if you do have Jesus in your life, would you take a moment right now to answer honestly in your own heart, are you experiencing the power of the resurrection? Not do you know it, because you do if you have Him in your life, but are you experiencing it in this season of your life? And if your answer falls short in some way, would you be willing to make a renewed commitment today and boldly ask Jesus to help you experience His power through the power of the Holy Spirit and through His Word, and to live and experience the power of the resurrection? Would you boldly ask Him that today? Maybe you want to come down front and kneel and pray about it. Maybe you want to stay at your seat and pray about it, but would you make that your prayer? Maybe for you, though, you're here and you're not certain you have Jesus in your life. Can I invite you to boldly ask Him to save you? I can't save you. No one in this room can save you, but oh, He can. And He says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're part of that. So if you will call on Him and say, Jesus, I need You to change me. I need You to save me. I want to know Your resurrection power. Would you ask Him to save you now? Would you commit to that? Still others, maybe God's calling you to come and unite with our faith family. Maybe you realize, even just looking at Serve Week, this is the kind of place you want to be a part of, where we put our hands and feet to action, where we show love with our circumstances, where we make a decision to not just speak it but to live it, where we make a decision to be a partner with ministries around the world. You want to come and be an official part of that? Would you come? We'd love to have you. Maybe you say, I've given my life to Jesus today or recently, but I've never followed through in believers' baptism, so I want to say I want to do that and make that public today, and we'll do it in the next few weeks. Maybe you just need prayer. Maybe you've just been reminded today that all your life God has been faithful, and so you just want to come and thank Him for His goodness for a moment. Listen, some of us, it's been a long time since we got on our knees, and there's nothing greater to do than to humble yourself before the Lord just to be thankful. It will change perspective and attitude. So maybe someone needs to just come and get on their knees and thank Him for what He's done in their lives. Father God, please have Your way among us today in the lives of each and every person here. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit us at www.albertvillefbc.church. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.